Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 414, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallish. I'm joined today by Matt Hill from p-c-services.com. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jeff?
I am doing excellent. Great day to record a podcast and talk about some exciting things.
It is indeed.
One of the things that you kind of caught me in the chat over on the ACRBO website as I was logged in there, and you know, we're just number one, you were complimenting me, which goes, you know, goes a great distance. I appreciate that. And then number two, we're kind of got in a back and forth conversation about you starting up your you know, computer repair service last year, and then kind of got into a conversation about you work for one of the big box stores as a technician.
Yep.
And when I talked to you about it, you said, I really loved my job. I didn't like the company necessarily, but I loved the job and I loved what I did there. And so that's kind of one of the things I wanted to bring you out here for was we're going to kind of talk about your background a little bit and what you're doing with your new computer repair business, but also your background in talking about the big box store and what you did there and how your day-to-day business was. Because I think a lot of people would really be interested in to know, okay, why did this guy go from here and he's actually breaking off into his own business? And I'm sure there's some good reasons for that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So let's start off with where are you from and how did you basically get started in computer repair?
All right. So we are based in State College, Pennsylvania. And there we worked at one of the big name stores for a few years. Together, it was about 5 years altogether. I was only there for 2 years, but my partner was there for 2.5, 3 years. And now we're kind of just doing our own thing. We broke apart. Neither of us have any formal education in computer repair, which is really interesting to me. And it's sort of why, you know, I wanted to come out here and learn a little bit more. And that's why I watched the podcast and everything. So we learned a lot from what we did at the big box stores. And we really liked what we did. We liked serving the customers. We liked the job. We liked the hours. We thought, you know what? We can probably do a better job on our own.
Okay. So did you have any interests before working at the big box store to do any type of computer repair? Or when you kind of grew up, did you have computers or kind of what did you do there?
Yeah, big gamer.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Really big gamer, I'll be honest. It took me so long to be able to admit that. I always said it. I don't know why I was so self-conscious about being a gamer. Because I think when a lot of people look at me, they would never assume that I was a gamer. But yeah, I'm totally.
Oh, wait, how do you mean that? Because like I'm almost 45 years old and I'm still a gamer.
Yeah, but I mean, like people have stereotypes, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, we could go on and on about them. And what's interesting is I don't think I fit squarely into them. So
gotcha. Okay. I don't either. So that's why people exactly don't know where I come from, but you know,
I was pretty impressed to hear that you're a gamer as well. I wouldn't have expected that, but
I'm just an old gamer. That's all.
Atari.
Yeah, exactly. But, oh, I loved Atari.
So yeah, I mean, I grew up, my first system was Windows 95.
Okay.
My dad ran his own business from home as well. Landscaping and construction from home. So he always had technology around. Started off with my first system, Super Nintendo, you know,
nice
and everything. But, so I just, you know, made my own computers growing up, was always, you know, keeping up to date with technology, always had the most current and new processor, you know,
right.
It came out every other year.
Yeah. It used to be that way. Not so much anymore.
Not so much anymore. Yeah. Other than that though, I always had this image of, you know, fixing computers, but never had the chance to, you know, take the sort of classes in school. My high school never offered those kinds of classes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they had, you know, 3D design and whatnot, but not necessarily information technology,
right,
for computer science.
Right.
So, and then I went to school at Juniata College, graduated in 2013, which is a small private college about 45 minutes south of Penn State College.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, I studied English and French education.
That's drastically different from what you're doing now. Sure.
Drastically different. I taught for a little bit and I was like, you know what? I don't really know if this is for me.
Okay.
So during that time when I was in college, I actually worked a whole bunch of part-time jobs. I had applied at this big box store before and did not get an interview, interestingly enough. And then a few years later, I applied again and I got the job.
Okay.
So that was sort of my threshold into the computer repair business.
Gotcha. Okay. So now, let's go back. So now we're at the big box store. You're working there. You worked there for about 2.5 years or so.
Yep.
Now, did you meet the partner that you're with now as far as your new business? Did you met him there?
Yes. And he was actually the one who trained me.
Oh, okay. So, great.
Yeah.
Okay. So now can you tell us what a typical day at this big box store was like as a computer repair tech? I mean, obviously you probably went through a training process, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was probably a point where they let you out on your own and said, okay, here you go. I mean, did you do a lot of traveling? Did you do a lot of stuff in-house? I'm sure there was a team of people that you worked with and probably different people did different jobs, but
yeah,
kind of, can you just, you know, lay out a day for us in a typical day at the big box store?
Yeah, absolutely. And now every day varied. I was definitely in store. I was not working at home and traveling.
No VWs for you?
No VWs for me. So that pretty much just gave away.
Yeah, pretty much. anybody could, you know, VWs or cruises, whatever, you know.
But what's nice about that is we're in our environment, our professional environment, you know what I mean? So people come to us and they have expectations, you know, and we just follow the same format over and over. Whereas when you go to people's houses, the chances of something going awry or awry, I should say, are a lot higher, you know, because then they start adding on all these things and they start asking all these questions and say, oh, well, since you're here, can you look at this?
Right.
You know? Whereas when you're in the store, you don't really get that.
So if a customer approaches, you know, comes up to the counter or whatever and says, I've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say it's what was the process that you would take that machine? What process would you go through to see what was wrong with the machine? And then how would you go about to kind of fixing it?
So here's what's interesting. First of all, where I worked, that was a big umbrella. It encompassed customer service, multi-channel, car installation, things like that.
Okay.
So really we had to figure out where these people needed to go and if they even needed to come in and see us. So first they would come just to customer service. And that's what I did for a little bit. I was there, we would just look at the computer, see if we could even do anything, see if it was a quick fix, charge them a quick fix, or if it needed to have some further diagnoses done. Then we would ship it to the next lane. And that second lane was where I spent most of my time.
Okay.
So the second lane, is where we do a lot of troubleshooting. We try all these different, we boot into safe mode, does it boot? Try and connect it via Ethernet cable. Does it connect to the internet then? You know, is it just a wireless card issue? Things like that.
Okay.
And then we would go through this whole entire process where we would have to check it in. And then when you checked it in, that's when we shifted to the back and then, you know, we got down and dirty with them.
Okay. So the beginning, so you're doing a lot of the same things that you're probably doing now to, you know, today in your own business, as far as troubleshooting, you're trying to figure out where's the problem.
If there even is one.
Right. If there is a problem. So after getting back, you know, the normal things, checking the internet, you know, plugging in cables and stuff like that, the simple things that you can do with a piece of hardware right there in front of you, then, okay, it's something more than that. Let's say you have an infection or something like that. So then the process moves to the back room.
Yes, but in order for that to happen, you have to sign up with their yearly service. They didn't even do quick fixes.
Oh, okay.
You had to enroll in their service, which to me, was a big problem. And that was, you know, one of the downfalls, I think.
Okay. So they had to sign up for a yearly service in order to get the machine worked on.
To even take it back in the back room. Yes.
And if they didn't want to sign up for the service, you just handed it back to them?
And said, sorry, you know, come back to us when you're ready. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting. I'd heard that before, but I didn't realize that that was a every case scenario. Okay. So,
I mean, unless it was just a quick fix, like a quick installation.
Okay.
Or they just needed a new RAM installed or something like that, then you wouldn't need to.
Now, what did that service cover for that year?
Now, the service, it was okay. It would cover 3 computers, which was a benefit. 3 computers with an antivirus for those 3 computers. So the price of the antivirus was included. And it was like you could come in every single day as long as you had that support.
Okay.
And you could even get remote support too if you connected online.
And this was all for the one same price?
For the same price.
Okay. Right. Very good. So now what type of – I'm just throwing out questions, but what type of antivirus were you guys using?
The 3 that they supported when I was there, Kaspersky.
Okay.
Webroot, which I personally use. I'm a big fan of Webroot.
Okay.
And Trend Micro.
Okay.
Great. So those were the 3 that they supported. Before my time, they did support Norton, but they quickly got rid of that. So, and we all know why.
Right. Yeah. Norton's always been a hog. So now you went through this process. Okay. So they sign up for the service. Mm-hmm. They're covered for a year.
3 computers.
3 computers. Yep. Antivirus for all 3 computers.
Yep.
Now, obviously, this is not going to cover hardware, though. These are only software issues, correct?
It would cover the labor for the hardware installation, but not the actual components.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
That's not bad. So
it's not bad, but the prices.
Well, you know, it's a big box store. They get a lot of overhead. I understand.
Yeah.
So now moving on from this. So now they sign up for the service. It goes into the back room. Mm-hmm. Now what happens? Let's say it's I'm getting to this. Let's say it's a machine that is virus ridden and it has a ton of malware on it, and you've got to basically clean the machine up. You've got to do a virus removal mm-hmm. and tune up.
I'll be the first to admit, we had really good techs in State College.
Okay.
Really, really good techs. So the simple wipe and reload wasn't necessarily all that we did. I mean, definitely that was our last resort. And again, this is just the store that I worked in.
Sure.
I'm sure it's different with every store. But before they even did a wipe and reload, they would have to go through a whole checklist.
Okay.
And they record every single step, you know. And so I think that's sort of where people get the misconceptions a little bit wrong. That's not all that we rely on, but it's what we have to go through, you know, before we can start doing our own thing. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. So now with that checklist, what did the checklist entail? And I'm sure you've done it so many times, you can kind of recite it off the top of your head.
Yeah, good. So it depends. Like if we're just doing the diagnostic first, then they do the scans, which don't remove, right? And then we call the customer because we have to keep the customer informed.
Okay.
So the first thing would just be scans. Now that would run overnight.
That would run overnight. Now what types of scans were you running? Did you have a special program you guys were using there?
Yeah, they have their own suite that includes, admittedly, a lot of the same tools that everybody else uses.
Right, sure.
But of course, they had the paid versions of Webroot scans, Panda, Kaspersky. They had Malwarebytes on there, but Malwarebytes wasn't in the normal routine. It was included in the suite, but it wasn't in the normal routine, which I found quite interesting. So it would run through the 3 main, Panda, Spyware Doctor, Webroot, and Kaspersky. And then after that, it would come up with the results. And then there, they would have to call the customer and say, hey, here's what we found. Do you want us to go through and remove them? You know, we didn't just remove them.
So you're just scanning them to see if there is actually things on the machine.
Right. To determine if it's software or hardware. Right.
Okay. Now, but the price they paid for the program, does that cover this service? The virus removal?
The yearly protection, you mean?
Yes.
It would, yes.
Okay. So what would be the point? They've already paid for a service. What would be the point of calling them and saying, hey, do you want us to remove these viruses and pieces of malware we found?
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, did they do a backup?
Oh, okay. Right.
You know, do they want us to actually proceed with this, or do they just want a brand new computer? You know? So, I mean, definitely if there was malware and they were under the tech support, they would remove it.
Okay.
But they would still scan first to see if it was a software problem or a hardware problem, you know?
Gotcha. Oh, so there was tools in there that were also scanning. Hey, is the hard drive okay? Hey, you know, is everything, is a brand working?
Yeah, it'll go through the virus scans first, and then they go through the hardware diagnostics.
Which is kind of backwards to me, but okay.
Yeah, I know.
But I'll be honest with you. I was a technician that I would actually, you know, I did, I would clean up a computer and then I'd go, man, is something still not working right? And I'd go back in and I'd go, oh, the hard drive's failing. Oh, I could have just saved myself like a ton of hours if I would have just went and checked the hard drive first, you know?
And that's the problem too, because these scans and the diagnostics that we run are very intensive on the computers.
Right.
So we could potentially make a failing hard drive fail.
Right. That's always been the problem. Sure.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that's why they just do the preliminary. Let's just do a surface scan first, you know?
Okay.
And it would depend on the computer. If this was just a computer, we had no idea what was going on through the initial troubleshooting. You know, if we knew it was a virus, if, you know, we opened up the computer and it's FBI virus, then they wouldn't go through all these steps. They would, you know, just automatically disable it and then remove it.
Okay. That's good to know. Now, did you guys use the same piece of software for doing, you know, ransomware viruses versus just a regular cleanup and stuff like that? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Very good. So your all-in-one tool had a lot of the same things that we use as techs, you know, in our own businesses.
Yeah, it did.
It was just probably made for, you know, the big box store itself.
Right.
Okay.
And of course they had special licenses that they, I'm sure, worked out at the corporate level.
Right.
You know, so they definitely had good tools.
Okay. So
and that's why they wanted us to make sure that we ran through them, because they knew how reliable it was.
Right.
And so that when we handed that computer back, we could be sure that we're giving them back a clean computer.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. So after running all these tools, because here's something that comes up in the business every once in a while, everybody will say, well, how do you know it's clean? How are you sure? Now, on average, would you say how many computers were you guys getting back after you did a virus removal? And let me ask you this. Did you actually do a tune-up on the computer, like Windows updates and things like that, after the virus removal was completed?
We had to. Yeah, it was on our checklist.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and again, these are the ones that actually come back.
Okay.
That people don't see being worked on. The ones that stay up front, like I was listening to the one podcast where somebody bought a new computer, you know, they paid X amount of money to have the big box store set it up for them, and they got it home and it wasn't working right. And it was because, you know, they didn't follow through with all the updates and whatnot.
Gotcha.
That's separate. And that's, and we can get into that later.
Okay.
So right now, let's just talk about the computers that actually go back and that are worked on in depth. And so, yes, those, they're absolutely, there's a checklist that we have to go through. And what's nice is you actually have to have another agent verify that all these things are done.
Okay.
Now, whether or not that agent actually checks to make sure that all these were done, you know, is a different issue, but most of the time they did, because it was their name on it. And if that computer got returned and it ended up, you know, going through our managers and whatnot, then we would be on the spot.
Right. No, that makes sense. No, that's good to have checks and balances like that. See, these are things that I think a lot of people are really not aware of in the big box stores that actually go in. Like you said, this happened in your particular store. You're going to get different human beings that are coming into these jobs. And you're getting paid, let's be honest, minimum wage.
Or slightly above. Not minimum wage, but it's not much better.
And the thing is, I've told people this, let's just be honest, as hardworking as we are as technicians and stuff, I still, as a human being, I'm only going to work so hard for a little bit of pay. I'm only going to do what I have to do to survive, but I'm really, I don't really have an incentive to go above and beyond that. And that's just, I don't care what anybody says. That is just human nature.
It is.
And if people out there will say, well, I would never be that way. Okay. We can talk about 100 different scenarios, and I bet you that human nature will win sometimes. Maybe not every time, but it will win sometimes in certain scenarios in our lives.
And unfortunately, there are other motives that exacerbate that, you know, where the client is just never happy.
Right.
But our manager's stance is the customer is always right, you know?
Right. And quite honestly, through the big box store, they are paying quite a premium. The customer in those particular cases, unfortunate as it is, the customer should always be right, because they're paying a lot of money for that type of support.
Yeah. And admittedly, they may not always be right though. And I think that was my biggest problem.
Okay.
That disconnect. And, you know, we were only allowed to help them so much.
Right.
And it got to the point where we were sacrificing things that we would genuinely do because it wasn't being paid for. You know, what I would recommend for my friends and family to do, we wouldn't be allowed to do because it'd be crossing that boundary, you know?
Gotcha. Like what? Give me an example.
Something so simple as adding on like AdBlock Pro.
Okay.
You know,
you had to stick to your suite of tools. Yes. in the antiviruses and stuff that were allowed going beyond it. Let me ask you this. Now, the antiviruses, were they internet security suites or just an antivirus?
No, they were the former.
Okay.
Internet security suites.
All right, great. So you're getting a lot of protection on there, but yeah, there are certain tools that, you know, whether
just
it be
even remove the ads from a web page. Sure. In total, you know, so that's one more guard that you have, so that
right.
There's no way for them to even click on an ad.
Right.
You know,
and that makes sense.
But then that, you know, we always had to watch what we did because we never knew what would happen.
Okay. Or so like you couldn't recommend anything outside what the company wanted you to recommend. Okay.
Essentially. Right.
So
for fear of repercussions.
Right.
You know, if they say, well, oh, this technician installed this on my computer when they were checking us out, and now my internet isn't working.
Right.
And it could be for, you know, a completely different reason. But because this technician installed this, you know, that's always the reason.
Well, you know, and we get that nowadays, even with people going, you just worked on my computer and now my printer doesn't work.
So
it's like, okay, yeah, I had something to do with that because I never even looked at your printer. Okay, thanks. We'll look at that.
Before you touched it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And you know, who knows? I mean, they could have, yeah, hey, plugged it in the wrong USB port. Who, you don't know.
Or forgot to even plug it in.
Or forgot to plug it in. That's a good point. I'm sure that happens a lot. So you've got all these processes now. Even in your business nowadays, are you using a lot of these same processes in your own business?
I am. Yeah, we have our own checklist, and it's just for that same, like, we know that we did the best that we could. So it's more to save our own butts,
right?
You know, and ensure that we are providing the same the same support for every single computer.
Okay.
And now, of course, if there's a different scenario and we have to stray from that, obviously we will. And we have that freedom. That's what's really nice. We have that freedom.
Okay. So now it sounds like, even at this big box store, it sounds like you're doing a lot of the same things that you would be doing normally anyways, even as a your own tech in your own business.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's why I find my old job to be so fruitful, because I learned so much.
It sounds like you learned actually a lot of good processes to make you a competent tech in what you're doing.
Right.
And then obviously one of my things nowadays is that I believe everybody can always learn.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people will, you know, they've been doing the same thing for the last 10, 15, 20 years, and that's all they know how to do. And it's like, well, that's fine, but let's be honest. There's always something more that I can learn and make my processes better. You know, if I can take a virus removal and tune up down from, you know, a 2-hour process down to an hour,
mm-hmm.
That's a big time savings for me as a tech. So,
right. And
you know,
when you're working
important.
With a lot of computers and you have a big workload, obviously time is money in that case.
Exactly. Okay. So now with all that being said, it will go through this process. You would get the customer back to the computer, or the computer back to the customer. The customer would take it, go home. And then you said, now, did you have a lot? I don't know if we answered this question. Did you have a lot of returns after those processes or no?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
We didn't. There were some cases where, you know, it was a kid's computer and they went through what they normally do and ended up getting infected again.
Sure.
You know, and they would blame us for that.
Right.
When really we're like, we can show you, you know, where it came from and things like that. So clearly, you know, this is user invoked. So, but explaining that to a customer saying like, oh, this is your fault. It's really hard to do.
Right. Right.
You know?
Well, you know, what I used to tell my customers is I would say, you know, all this free music you got that you downloaded from, you know, BearShare or wherever, for those that remember that.
Frostwire.
I said, yeah. Yes. So yeah, Frostwire and whatever the new ones are now. I said, all this free music is not free, because here's the deal. You got all this free music, but you're going to pay me $89 to fix your problem because one of those pieces of music actually infected your system.
Yep.
So you get what you pay for.
That's the biggest thing we see.
Yeah. Right.
That's the biggest thing that we see nowadays. People illegally downloading and not knowing how to download, what they're downloading, from where they're downloading. Yeah. Right.
No,
and they just click, click, click. They don't even read anything anymore. And boom,
right.
You've conduit on your computer, you know?
So now let's move into, we kind of talked about the software. Sounds like you're doing the same things you're doing in a regular computer repair business. Hardware. What happens when a piece of hardware is bad and it goes to the back?
Well, what's nice is we have a lot of the components there. If it's something simple. Now, if it's something big, like beyond a power, like power supply or RAM, then that's where it gets a little tricky, because we don't have every single manufacturer's component in our little, you know, 10x3 room.
Okay.
So then we have to ship it out. And it gets shipped to some big manufacturer place somewhere. I don't even know where it is. And they do what they do to it, and we get it back.
Now,
and we still have to run, you know, tests afterwards to make sure that it's working again. But
now my understanding is, you may or may not know this, and you correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is there are companies out there that will basically hire techs like us now, you know, techs like myself, that I can basically go through. And my understanding is a lot of the big box stores actually go through these companies. The problem is these separate companies will set a price and say, you know, hey, I need this done or whatever. My understanding is a lot of us techs are actually doing that more in-depth work for the big box stores. I don't know if that's true or not, or it's what I've heard, you know, in the industry for the past few years.
Well, admittedly, it really depends on what the problem is. If you just need a video card replacement, you can get that ordered in through the parts store.
Mm.
But if it's like a new screen or, I don't know, an on-screen keyboard that doesn't easily just pop out, then yeah, that's definitely something that has to be shipped out. Or if there's liquid damage, you know, or if you need data recovered from a failing hard drive that we can't get off, then that's definitely something that has to go out. And I would agree. I think that the prices that we charge for those jobs, the customer doesn't even see. So they have no idea. You know what I mean?
Right.
And nor do the employees. We don't get to see this stuff. We get to see how much the parts cost, and we get to see how much, you know, we're charging overall.
Right.
So that we see, but yeah, we definitely don't see the work that goes into it. And that disconnect, to me, I think is a big problem. But how can you expect, you know, with a store that's spread out so far, how can you expect them to have every single component in store?
Oh, admittedly, yeah. even as small computer repair shops like ourselves, we don't have every component in. So, I mean, I I've got to order something because I'm not going to keep a big supply of everything on hand just because it's not cost effective for me to do that. So my customers will know, hey, it's going to be, you know, now admittedly, you know, a long time for getting a part is like 4 days.
Yeah.
You know, most customers, to be honest with you, are comfortable with that. So they're like, no big deal. Mm-hmm. So things like screen repairs and stuff like that. Now, obviously, you guys didn't do power jack repairs and stuff like that there. Did you tear – how far could you tear open a laptop?
Well, that depends. Is it under warranty? Is it not? Do they have tech support? Do they not? You know, if they had warranty, we couldn't even touch it.
Okay.
Fair enough. It was a hardware repair, we were not allowed to touch it. You just shipped it out automatically.
Now, what if it was out of warranty?
Now, if it was out of warranty and they had our support, then we could.
And now, did you have people that were actually there that were good at taking apart laptops?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we had two really good techs who are really good friends of ours, and they definitely have taught us a lot. And that's why I said I think why my story is a little bit different, because we had very experienced techs. You know, those who had gone through the formal education, those who had owned their own computer repair company, and who, you know, just wanted more stability.
Gotcha. Well, I would say admittedly, so let's say you've never touched a computer before, but you come to this big box store, you get a job in the tech support. Yeah. Just like you. And obviously you were able to learn. Now, do you feel that anybody coming through there that actually wanted to learn could actually learn and become as effective as a tech as yourself?
That's a big problem because these stores have such high turnover.
Okay.
So when you train these people, it's good for maybe 5 months max, and then they're out, you know?
Gotcha.
Because they're only here for a part-time job. So you're constantly retraining people. And when you do that, and all these new people are touching computers and, you know, messing with files and trying to do data transfers, a lot of problems can occur with inexperience.
Okay. So let's say, so in the training process, as they're coming up through the ranks, a lot of things can happen that, you know, one of the scenarios I've given is from a particular big box store, which we won't name, that you worked for. I had a computer come to me and they said that they told the customer the motherboard was bad. So obviously this never got to the back.
Right.
This was at the front counter. He opened it up, hit the power button, and guess what came up?
Doesn't turn on.
No, it turned on. It a black screen came up and said, "No device found."
Motherboard's bad.
Yeah. So that their thing was the motherboard's bad. The guy brings it to me. I open it up, find out.
Need to reconnect the hard drive or something.
No, it wasn't even that. What he had tried to do is he was having some problems with the computer, kept shutting down on him. So he tried to restore it himself. Well, in the middle of the restore, this thing kept shutting off and it corrupted the restore. So what ended up happening is I had to figure out why his restore got corrupted. Why the computer was shutting down, which when he explained this all to me, I basically took the laptop apart and found that the CPU fan was disconnected from the motherboard. I plugged it back in. I went back in. Went into the restore panel and restored everything, you know, factory fresh, and here you go. So it surprised me that somebody would open it up, turn on the computer, and go, "Oh yeah, you got a bad motherboard." But the screen, the BIOS booted. It's just saying there's no device for any information on there.
Right.
You know, no hard drives connected or whatever.
Well, you have to remember, you don't have people standing in a line glaring at you. You know.
Gotcha.
And that was one of the biggest pressures is we could only handle so much, you know, especially we were severely understaffed. So not that I'm condoning that sort of behavior whatsoever.
Right.
I can see how it could happen. And having had been in those positions before, you know, where I was one of the only techs out front, and I have a whole line of people angry, pissed, you know, they want their computer like that. They want it fixed on the spot in a half hour. You know, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So I can see how that happens. But also, again, it goes back to the inexperience. A lot of the training modules that they gave us were boring. You know, they were online. You clicked through all these different sessions, watched these latent videos, and took a quiz at the end. And if you took the quiz at the end or if somebody else took it for you, then you passed, you know?
Wow. Were they multiple choice questions?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, you got a 25% chance.
Right.
And probably two of the questions, you know, two of the answers are so dumb, you really had a 50% chance. Right.
Or like you scroll through the comments and people will tell you the answers, you know?
Okay.
It's crazy.
Gotcha.
So I would say I didn't learn the most through our training modules. I learned the most through shadowing and actually getting my hands, you know, wet with these things.
Well, and that's what I tell a lot of techs. A lot of techs are saying, hey, how do I start off in this business? I'm this old and I've been doing this other thing for years. And I'm like, just start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just grab your family and friends, you know, laptops and computers and whatnot, and just start working on them. And, you know, if you want, you know, go to eBay, buy a couple of broken laptops and just start tearing them apart. So, you know, worst case scenario, you're out a few bucks. It's not, you know, it's not that big a deal.
Right.
And that, you know, that helps with, you know, kind of just training yourself. And really that's what this business, if you don't have something like you had where you went into a store and you were able to learn from somebody, then you got to kind of learn on your own. So I give you guys kudos for being able to go in there, learn, and actually come out and start your own computer repair business. And I will tell a good story on this same big box store is that this lady came in and she needed a screen repair. And I don't know what was said with the technician behind the counter and in her, but it basically was going to cost a lot more money than she wanted to spend because obviously she'd have to get a support and this, that, and the other and pay for the screen.
Out, shipping. Yep.
So all that stuff included. So this tech, whoever he was, must have went online and was just searching for computer repair techs in the area, found me and gave my number to this person. She called me up and I fixed it for a quarter of the price. And
we always did that.
Oh, no kidding.
Especially with Apple computers. Yep.
Okay.
Because we very limitedly were able to provide support for Apples. And so there's a really good Apple repair store down the road that we would always refer people to.
Okay. That's good to know. So, you know, it comes back to the human factor. And I think that most technicians going into these big box stores, as long as they can be teachable and they can continue to learn, I don't think there's anything wrong with learning from that process to get your feet wet in computer repair.
But then on the other side of it, you're absolutely right. But then people become complacent. I think this is where the whole, you know, stereotype comes.
Right.
And the stigma, because you're so used to following this procedure, you know, you don't even think about it anymore. You just check it off because you've done it, you know, 50 times a day. So then when something new occurs and you're going through the same old pattern and it doesn't fix it, then you're like, oh, crap.
Right.
What am I supposed to do? And that's definitely a big problem. And I would never defend that to anybody because that's definitely one of the big fallouts, you know?
Well, let me, like as my statement was earlier, don't be fooled. There's a lot of computer repair techs that are complacent in what they do also, even running their own businesses. So I always wanted to be different than that and make sure that I'm constantly learning and growing and trying new things, you know, to basically help the customer out. And it sounds like a lot of you guys had that same feeling. You really wanted to help the customer. And that's really what it comes down to. Customer service, customer satisfaction.
Yep.
But you were bound by a set of rules that you could not go outside of.
Yes.
You know, and so that's understandable. So you were living in the environment you were provided and you learned a way to learn what you needed to learn and then move on yourself. I mean, 2.5 years at a company like that, That's a lot of machines, I'm sure, that have went through your hands.
Yeah, it was. And admittedly, I don't think we learned as much about what every single tool did, per se. We knew what they did,
right?
Like what their job was, but we never knew how they did it. So that, I will say, is what I'm struggling with now.
Okay.
And is why I spent so much time, you know, when we were forming the business, to try and figure out what every single tool did and how it did it and why it did it, you know?
Right. Now, I will say that, to be honest with you, I don't know what every tool that I use actually does because some of them are a little more complicated than others. I know what I've used and I know what works for me. And I know if I, you know, I have a suite of tools that I run. And if it goes beyond that and I have a problem that's coming up, then I'll throw another tool, this or that, you know, at it. And generally that'll fix the problem.
Yeah.
You know, now, admittedly, there are other times that I have to go beyond that and dig down into the registry and rewrite registry keys. And that kind of sucks, but it is a different mindset to be able to, okay, none of these things worked. And now what do I do?
Right. And I think people think that the guys in the back at these big box stores don't know how to do this kind of stuff. I would admit half of them probably don't, but there are a good handful who do. And we were lucky enough to have two of those, you know? So I don't think a lot of stores have that though. I think they're used to just following the checklist and bing, bang, boom, done. Let's just push out as many computers as we can because that's what we're jolted from upper levels, you know?
Sure. No, that makes perfect sense. In every store, I think you're right. Every store is not going to be exactly the same.
Right.
And it's understandable. But my point is there can definitely be people that come from the big box stores that absolutely can stand on their own and do just as good a job as a lot of us tech. Maybe you don't know all the jargon. Maybe you don't know all the tools. Maybe you don't know the ins and outs of certain things. But guess what? Like the rest of us, you will learn it one way or the other.
The biggest thing that I learned, admittedly, it isn't even has nothing to do with computers. It's how to deal with people.
Yes.
Angry people.
Yes.
People who are pissed because, you know, they're crypto locked or they wipe their hard drive or, you know, they bomb their computer, things like that. And they need these files because they have to turn in their paper for tomorrow.
Right.
Well, so that's definitely what I learned the most is just how to deal with people and how to approach people too.
Yes. Yep. Well, and that's, I think that in this industry anymore, if you have good service and you have good, you know, decent people skills and you can talk to people at their level and not talk over them, not talk under them.
Condescendingly, right?
Right. I think that's really what's going to win in this business overall. I will tell you, if I have a bad service at a place, whether it be a restaurant or a store of any sort, the chances are, unless they're the only game in town, I'm probably not going back to that store because I want somebody to take care of me. I've hired companies to do things before, and I'm asking them to, you know, make tweaks and adjustments on the product that I want, and they keep coming back, and it's like, I'm giving them a project. I want their input. I want their knowledge because they do this every day. I don't. Right. And they keep asking me for, you know, what it is I want. And it's like, I've hired you to take that off my plate. And, you know, so I've given you, I've given you an idea of what I want. Bring me some, you know, some copies and we'll, you know, I'll tell you which one's the best. So it's hard to do that. So service to me is a big proponent of today's computer repair techs or any service industry.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes me and my partner work so well too, because I can be that guy who's up front and meanwhile I still have somebody who's really good at fixing computers, you know, in the back doing all that kind of work. So I can focus on getting new clients, making sure all of our clients are contacted and happy, you know.
So now, so let's move into that since you started your service, your computer repair service early or probably spring of last year, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been in business for a while. You'll be coming up on a year here in a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
What was the process? Now, you and your partner who worked at the same big box store, did you guys leave at the same time?
I left first.
Okay.
Yeah. I left first and he left probably about a month later. Yep.
Did you guys, before you left, had you come up with the idea to start a computer repair business together?
No. And what happened was we lost our main computer repair tech due to management issues. And really, the store was just going downhill. And that was one of my reasons for leaving. But after that happened, you know, we got all these inexperienced people in and it just went downhill. To the point where I dreaded going to work, which never happened because I was always excited to go to work.
Wow. Okay.
So I would say after a few months, you know, we all kept in contact. I came up with the idea. I'm like, why don't we all just do this on our own? You know, and
right.
We all know what we're doing. And we all have different skills, that, you know, if we combine them together, I'm sure we could have something great going. And some of them weren't really on board with this. Some needed more stability. But the guy who trained me, he was like, yeah, let's do it. So we kind of set out, really, like I said, took a few months just to prepare, see what's out there. We really gauged our competition. In fact, I went to every single store and pretended I had a broken computer just to see what they said. You know,
really? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to see, you know, the type of support that they offered, their prices, and how they treated their customers. You know.
And what did you learn from that experience? What were some of the scenarios that happened when you went into some of these stores?
I felt very confident after I did this.
Okay.
and here's why: the first place I went to, I rang a bell for like 10 minutes because nobody was out front.
Oh my gosh.
Finally, some guy came out and was like, what's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What do you and I was like, well, you know, I had this virus, and I'll be honest, I had this old HP computer, and I downloaded all this junk, and I had like Wrench Clean Pro on it.
Okay.
And I was like, well, you know, my computer's really bogged down. I need some viruses removed and whatnot. And you know, they gave me all the prices, and they're like, yes or no. I was like, well, you know, what's your turn time? And it was kind of the same experience that you would get from the big box store.
Okay.
Admittedly. That was one store. And then the other, they handed me this little sheet with all the prices. And I was like, here you go.
That was it. Hey, let me take a look at it. See, that's what really gets me. I haven't told this story in a long time. I remember going to a computer repair store when I first started doing power jack replacements, where you had to solder the power jacks onto the motherboard. Mm-hmm. I didn't have one. The customer needed it back really quick, so I didn't want to order one on eBay. So I went down to a local computer shop that did power jack repairs, admittedly for a lot more than I did them for. Right. Went in the store. I said, hey, I need a power jack for blah, 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 blah. And this, you know, this guy was like, and I think he was the owner. He basically was like, well, you know, it's $200. And if you've already taken it apart, we don't do those, this type of thing. I said, do you have the power jacks? He's like, well, yeah, for us. I was like, okay. I said, I just walked out of the store, and in my head, I was thinking, you'll be out of business in 2 years.
Right.
You'll be done. Because right. Here I was willing to pay for admittedly a $3 part at the time. I would have given a guy $25 just to have the jack immediately. He could have made a nice little profit. He wasn't going to get that computer anyway because I already had it torn apart laying on the table.
Right.
So, but he decided to turn away money because he was afraid of competition, which there are too many people in the world, in my opinion, to be afraid of competition. It really is.
And I think each store has its own set of skills that, you know, they excel in.
Right.
And every store is different. I think that's what really set us apart, because what we focus on and what I really focus on, and this is what's kind of interesting, is the education part, you know, educating the clients so that they don't need to see us every month.
Right.
So that they can make the appropriate steps to, you know, prepare themselves, or even vice versa. If they get a new device, teaching them how to use it so that it's most optimized for them. And so that they get the most out of their $300 iPad or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. So now you went from this process. So you guys decided, you kind of both left the company. You decided, okay, we're going to start this store. The guy who trained you guys decided to become partners. Mm-hmm. Now most people will say that partnerships generally don't work out. What was the feeling going into this, you know, endeavor together that was going to make it work? Because I know that some people do co-ops out there. Some people will use subcontractors, mm-hmm. and some people will actually partner up and it does fine for them. So what was your guys' feeling on that?
Well, we knew that we worked well together.
Okay, good.
Which was a plus. We weren't just walking into this as best friends. You know what I mean? We were already coworkers who became friends.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, so in retrospect, that was definitely an ease. There's nothing new for us there. Granted, we do live together, but we're able to separate work from home. And he knows what he's good at, and I know what I'm good at.
Right.
And
okay.
So I rely on him. He relies on me. You know, and with that, we're not competing with each other.
Right. Okay.
Because if it weren't for me, he wouldn't be fixing computers, and if it weren't for him, he wouldn't have computers to be fixed. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay. No, that makes sense.
So it definitely works out that way. Now I can definitely see where problems can occur. You know, especially with money. You know, recognition and whatnot. I can absolutely see that.
Gotcha. Okay. No, fair enough. So now you guys came together, created this company, and you took the first, you know, however many months to kind of figure some tools out and stuff like that. And then you went on from there. So what types of things have you guys been working on since you've been actually taking in computers and stuff? What have you been seeing out there?
Interestingly, not a lot of viruses.
Really?
No, not a lot of viruses. And maybe it's just because of the season that we really started. We've been doing a lot of in-home stuff, in-home setup.
okay.
of new devices in home education. We fixed a lot of friends and family's computers, who, you know, they were just downloading crazy stuff from these crazy sites. not BearShare though, so that's a plus.
Yeah, we haven't seen BearShare. I haven't seen BearShare in years, but you know.
So that's sort of what we've known. We haven't had too many virus repairs, surprisingly, which I thought that was going to be the number one problem.
You know what? What you'll find in this business is you go through cycles. And I really can't figure out, and it might be by area too, who knows. I go through cycles where all I get is virus removals. And then I go through cycles where all I get is, you know, hardware replacements, you know, like hard drives, stuff like that. And then I'll get, you know, where, you know, I for the first time, admittedly, I had about 3 months ago, I actually had my first processor replacement on a laptop.
Really?
I've never had a processor go bad in years. And all of a sudden, he came in and it was a Dell.
It was a newer machine?
It was Core i5. It's actually only a few years old.
Wow.
And fortunately with the Dells, there's the beep codes.
Right.
And the beep code said, oh yeah, the processor's bad. So I ordered a new processor, installed it for him. And unfortunately, this is one of the things that happens, because if it had been any older machine than what it was, I would have told him to buy a new machine. But because it was a Core i5, it had 8 gigs of RAM, or 6 gigs of RAM, it was still a good machine. It was a solid Dell. Mm-hmm. I said, no, you know what? Let's just replace the processor. Well, 3 months later, he comes back, and actually the motherboard died. So at this point, you know, I basically back up all his data, get all his stuff back for him, but he'd already went out and bought another computer. So it's unfortunate. He wasn't, you know, upset or anything. It's just, you know, it's the way it goes. I only give a 30-day warranty on parts.
Right.
And this, you know, it had nothing to do with that particular part that I had installed. So,
and unfortunately, we've gotten to the point now where computers are easier to replace entirely than just replacing components.
Yes, that's true.
And that's included with labor and the cost of parts, which is unfortunate, because if you pay, you know, $1,000 for a machine, which a decent machine nowadays is about $1,000.
Sure.
You know, and it works for 2 to 3 years. After that third year mark, the chances of something happening increase by like 80%.
Right. Yeah, as it's breaking down, heating up, cooling down, all that kind of stuff.
Right. And well, it's just cheaper to buy a new one. And that's sort of the market that we're in, which is unfortunate for us.
It is sort of, except that what I try to do is train my customers. A customer will say, you know, I want to buy a $350 laptop. That's great. You can buy a $350 laptop and you will have a horrible experience.
And you'll pay $350 in repairs.
Exactly. I said, but to be honest with you, some people that are just using it, hey, maybe they got their QuickBooks on there. They open it once a day. They pay their employees out of it. They put in their information for their daily tab at whatever business they're in, and they put it back in the bag, and that's all they do. You know what? A $350 laptop will do you just fine.
Yeah. Or if they're just browsing the internet for recipes or whatever.
Now, the guy that takes his laptop and goes and travels down to Florida and back to Michigan all the time, and he wants to do his Sling Box, and he wants to stream to his PC, or, you know, stream to his laptop so he can get his sports games and all that kind of stuff to his laptop, that guy's going to buy a $700 laptop.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to be satisfied with a $350 laptop.
Right.
You will not have the same experience. So it all depends on what the customer's needs are and what you're going to push it. But a lot of people that come to me and go, okay, it'll cost, let's say, $200 to do a motherboard replacement. And let's say the machine's only 2 years old. Well, I can go buy a brand new machine for $350.
For an extra $150, and it'll be brand new, right?
That's true. But here's the thing. It's not going to be the same as this one that you just paid $1,000 for 2 years ago, or $700 for 2 years ago. It'll be a much lesser machine. It'll probably be better. But it'll be a much lesser machine, and it'll probably, the components will go out of style that much quicker.
Right.
So,
but you know, explaining that to somebody who doesn't understand all the core components, they just can't see it. They can't understand it. It's foreign to them.
Well, it's weird, because I still 50% of the time people will still have me replace the motherboard.
Really?
Yes.
Because that was the problem that we ran into, because a lot of the times we had to ship it out if it was, you know, physically damaged.
Sure.
And they didn't see the cost, the time. They just didn't see it as worth it. Right. So they would just go buy a new computer when we probably could have done it for maybe $200.
Right. Right. But they don't realize that at the time. But yeah, 50% of the people, because they're either attached to their computer or for whatever reason, they'll just, you know what, just do it anyways. It could be $300. And I've still had people pay to have, you know, have that type of motherboard replaced. Fortunately, with the way the cheaper components and stuff are nowadays, motherboard prices have come way down for a lot of your mainstream machines.
They're
half the price that they used to be.
Yeah.
So that definitely helps a little bit.
I think we're going to see an interesting change in the computer industry, because laptops are getting smaller and smaller. They're easier to break.
Yes.
You know? So I think now we're going to be able to see more repairs being done because they're more expensive and they're more likely to break. So therefore, people are more likely to get them repaired, you know, because the cost isn't going down at all.
Well, you know, and what's funny is I replaced an Asus laptop. The screen was cracked. And now this particular screen, I can't remember the model number, but this particular screen, basically you can buy it one of two ways. You can buy it with the screen, and then you've got to pry the bezel off that's glued on from the back and, you know, pry the screen out of there, or you can pay a couple of dollars more. It's literally a couple of dollars more and get the whole screen and top of this computer, of this laptop, and replace it.
Right.
I had a guy last year, $300. He paid me to replace a screen. But admittedly, this Asus laptop, which was all metal, a very nice laptop, he probably spent at least $1,000 to $1,200 on it.
I think I'm on a similar machine right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Has a big battery in the back and the fan.
Yeah, the battery's all glued on the inside and all that. Yeah. So it's so for him, $300 is expensive, but for the price he would have to go to replace it, that $300 is not that bad. I just need a screen and everything else works fine.
And I think it all goes back to the types of clients that you have.
Right.
You know, and sort of the demographics of the area in which you work.
Or more of what you charge.
That too. Yeah, I've learned a lot through you guys, through your podcast. And admittedly, my prices are not that high.
Do you mind saying what you actually, what do you charge? Well, let me ask you this. Do you charge a flat rate or do you charge an hourly rate?
Both. We do. We have a mixed approach.
Okay.
If we're going to somebody's house and we are, you know, installing something, we'll do it hourly. If we're going there, you know, picking up a computer and taking it home, then we'll charge a flat rate.
Okay, great. Great. Sounds good.
But yeah, I mean, right now, hourly, I'm charging $59.99.
Okay.
And for me, it's working. We also charge trip fees and stuff too. So.
Okay. So yeah, you know, I charge $89 flat. And then my trip fee is $40.
Okay.
So if I travel out to, and part of that, here's the reason for that. And I've told people this before, I don't like traveling outside of my house. I'm going to be a hermit in my home and I'm happy with that. But I would rather, because of my work schedule and stuff like that, it's easier for people to drop computers off and they save $40 and they're more than happy. My customers are more than happy to do that.
Right.
And then what I'm starting to do is I'm starting to use a lot of more remote support and actually start repairing these machines remotely versus, you know, if it's a software issue, virus removal, that type of thing, which will save me some travel time and stuff too. So
do you feel like clients are more hesitant though to go with the remote approach?
You know, it's really weird. Clients are really, really weird. I mean, for the most part, I've had clients where I've remoted into their machine using Instant House Call. And the next thing I know, I get an email. I never asked them to do it. And I must've forgotten to uninstall it or whatever, but they'll just give me, you know, unattended access. They'll click on it. I mean, you have to blatantly click on unattended access and then answer the pop-up window that says yes. And they just do because they're like, hey, well, if you gotta get in my machine again, they don't realize I have access to it all the time. Now, I don't care, you know, and I've explained that to my customers. We can download the program again and you can, you know, we can, you know, install it again and I can get in your computer. I don't need unattended access for, I'm talking to you twice a year.
Right.
You know, it's not like I'm talking to you on a monthly basis or whatever. Now, for my MSPs, you know, I do have that access all the time where I can get in if they, you know, if a problem pops up, I can take care of it right away. So
now, are you partnered with Chris on that?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I'm doing he's using the GFI. So I've got the remote access through GFI for my customers and stuff. So
see, we haven't gone that route yet. And it's mostly because people hated that at Geekswap, at the big stores.
You said it. That's all right. People I gave it away in the beginning. It doesn't matter.
I'll be honest. People hated it.
Right.
They're like, why would I pay, $300 for, X amount of years of support if I just need this quickly fixed once?
Well,
when they don't see the value.
So here's how I've pushed the value for myself is when customers will come to me and literally it's probably even a customer's machine that I've fixed, I might see them a year later and they go, okay, they're going to pay for it again. But because they're running a business on their computer, on their laptop or whatever, their business is down because now they can't get to their stuff. I've got to have their computer for a few days. So they ask me, say, how can I stop from getting infected? And I look point blank at them and say, you can't. But here's what we can do. We can try to block as many of the processes that are going to happen, but here's what you're going to have to pay. It's $25. I charge $25 a month for my managed, and this is for residential. And you know what? I've had certain customers in certain situations, they take me up on that because now their downtime on their computer is so much less and they can just, what I tell them is, do you just want to open your computer up and use it on a daily basis? Or do you want to have where you've got to bring it to me every 6 months to a year to have me clean it up and you're going to be down for a few days? What is it worth to you? I said, this is a business. This is a write-off. It's an expense that you can write off. It all depends on what you want. And the ones that, say, well, I can't afford it or whatever, and they still, go to Starbucks and whatnot, whatever. everybody's going to pay for what they feel is necessary for them. And for a lot of people, working on a slow computer is not a big deal to them. And that's fine. So I'll see them once a year, and I'll do a virus removal cleanup and tune-up for them, and you will call it a day. But other people, it is important enough for them to have their data constantly. So,
but those iced caramel chocolate super lattes,
right? Exactly. It, $5 or $6 a piece. So, but yeah, so, a lot of these things that we do in the industry are, the bottom line is we want to help the customer out. There are certain things you're going to have to pay for. One of the things I'm looking into right now is I'm looking into reselling antivirus, which I looked into that as well. And we'll talk after the show. I'm asking some techs out there, and I'm, also talking to Ken Dwight, the virus doctor, and, some of the things he recommends. And one of the things that, him and I've gotten into a email back and forth is basically he says that we really should be pushing internet security suites to our customers.
Yeah.
And, first I'm like, wow, the internet security suites, they slow everything down. And, and he's like, well, he goes, it used to be that way, but he goes with a lot of the processors and the amount of RAM that's in these machines, these things are running so much better. And he recommends two or three.
Well, especially with cloud optimization now too.
Right. So, it's one of those things that as an old tech, I have to get past my old notions, and I'm definitely going to look into that because if I can find a good solid product that I can feel comfortable selling to my customers, I feel that it probably is time to actually start selling them a good antivirus if I'm not going to put them on a managed service.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that because it's the first barrier of protection.
Right.
From essentially a lot of stuff. If you click on the link, it will warn you.
Right. Now, admittedly, a lot of people have said that, Windows Defender on Windows 8 and above and Microsoft Security Essentials on Windows 7 and below, or Windows 7 and Windows Vista now, is not a very good antivirus. And I'm not a big proponent of the AV comparatives and stuff like that. Professional sports. There. Yeah, I think there's a lot of bought and paid for stuff. But anyways, that's just my opinion. But I am definitely looking at what is the best bang for the buck that I can get my customer and give them a good, solid internet security solution. Because even though I run those things on my own systems and don't get infected ever, I also know what not to click on and, you know, and how to compute safely. So I'm in a different demographic than my customers are. I do things differently.
Me as well, but we've grown up with it, you know?
Right.
You asked me how to change my oil in a car. I couldn't do it.
Okay. That's sad. But anyways,
I know, but it's because I've never invested the time to figure out how.
Right. And I will tell you that I required each and every one of my children as they got their first car. That was the first thing they did. They rotated their own tires, checked their brakes, and they changed their own oil. I said, yeah, you can go
pay. They are privileged in today's world.
Yeah. I said, you can go pay for it, but I'm not going to allow you to do that. You're going to do it at least once. Yeah. And then if you feel like it's worth paying for, then go ahead. But that's that's another side issue. Yeah. No, you're right, though. You can't be an expert at everything. And I tell my kids all the time, I said, I don't want you to be an expert, but here's what I want you to know. I want you to know the basics of doing something so that if somebody comes and tries to take advantage of you, you know,
you can be, no,
that's not what it is. And I've had my daughter, I've had her clean the trap under her sink because it's not my hair that's going down the sink and I'm not cleaning it out. Yeah. So I show her once and she has to do it. And she understands. I said, listen, you don't have to know everything, but if a plumber ever comes to your house when you own one and you have the basic idea of how to do it, then you can do it. And I think it really comes back to, that's what we're really trying to do for the customers. Listen, I just want you to have a basic understanding, a basic education on what to do and what not to do when you're online, what are good and safe practices, and what's going to keep you the best we can protected from you losing your data or you getting, crypto wall or anything like that.
And at these big box stores, you don't have the time for that, which is unfortunate. So you lose that personal touch. And that's sort of why we went with the name that we did, Personal Computer Services.
I like it. I really like it. I'm actually, like I told you earlier, I'm surprised you got the domain name.
Me too.
So that's awesome. Good job. So I think we've really kind of covered a lot of subjects and different things. And you're more than welcome to come back in the show anytime as you're going through your business. And I think you're in a perfect position that you're learning new things and you're going to have things to share all the time, which I think every computer repair tech does, even though they maybe don't think they do. Because even talking to you before, until we kind of went with the big box store angle, you were kind of like, well, I just started. I don't really have a lot of stuff to talk about. But you actually, because you are on the services side of the business, you actually do have a lot of stuff to talk about. And you've got a lot of things that you guys are learning as you go, which I think is a great position to be in.
That is true.
So I appreciate you coming out on the show. And if people want to find you, where's the best place to do that?
So they can either email me at techs@p-c-services.com or head to our website, p-c-services.com. You can fill out a little email submission form there as well.
Excellent. Well, again, appreciate you coming out.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
No problem. And I'll tell you what, if you guys want to come check out Ken Dwight, the virus doctor, I know I was just talking about him a little bit ago. He's doing a free 2-part webinar on advanced virus removal techniques for Podnuts on February 4th and the 11th.
Yep. We'll be there.
Oh, good. At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you guys want to listen to the interview I did with Ken, it's Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, number 107. And he was just on the live show, which will be showing up in your podcatcher on Thursday. And I will have a sign-up link in the show notes, so definitely get signed up for that. It's coming soon. You guys can also find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, like Matt, email me at podnetsdaily@podnets.com. I'll send you my schedule. We'll get you set up. It's a lot of... Matt, did you have a lot of fun?
I did.
Good.
I did. I hope you did as well.
I always do. Did I make it easy on you?
You did.
Okay.
There you go. I was a little nervous because I wasn't sure, the questions I was going to be asked, but.
Sure. It happens, but I'm a fairly decent guy. So definitely email me. And if you want to leave a voicemail, we'll play it on the show. Call 1-888-697-0162. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. If you need remote support, definitely check out Instant House Call. Don't forget, if you need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. That'll get you all the paperwork to get started in your business, and you can tweak it to your heart's content. And if you guys could, please leave us a rating and review over on iTunes. That'll help more people know about us. You guys can also help support the Podnuts Network. The next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Halish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.